Ask an Astronomer is part of the Jodcast. For the full show, go to www.jodcast.net.
Welcome to Ask an Astronomer, where you get your astronomy questions answered by Dr. Tim O'Brien. Thanks again, Tim, for answering questions this month. Question here from Jeremy Taylor. He says, I was listening to the Jodcast last night, and this new map of the structure of dark matter and how it was derived was discussed. Now, the authors used gravitational lensing to determine the shape of dark matter by how the images of background galaxies are deformed. This puzzled me. How can they determine the shape of the dark matter this way? Surely you would need to know precisely where the background galaxies are in the first place, and how they would appear if the dark matter wasn't there in order to measure how much their light has been deflected.
Okay, right. I think I understand the problem. Well, that's to some extent. So I'll do my best to explain it. First of all, we should probably just reiterate what dark matter is.
Yes.
It's basically, we think it makes up about 85% of the mass of the matter in the universe. So it's actually the dominant component of matter in the universe. We don't know what it is yet. We know it's there because of its gravitational effects on other stuff, basically. So it's quite important to try and map out where it is. Of course, it's invisible. This is the thing. This is why it's called dark matter. The problem is you can't see it. Doesn't generate any light of any form, electromagnetic radiation, radio waves, visible light, infrared, whatever. It's effectively invisible. So you can only tell if it's there because of its gravitational effect. That's the important thing. So how the heck do you make a map of something that's invisible?
Yes.
Okay, this is the struggle. So what was done? The discussion was about a paper by a large group of astronomers from all over the world, basically. The first author of which was a guy called Richard Massey, who at the moment is at Caltech. And what they'd done was they'd used the Hubble Space Telescope in a project called COSMOS, the Cosmic Evolution Survey, which is actually the biggest project that the HST has been involved in. There were 575 different pointing positions for the telescope, covering a region of about 1.6 square degrees. And they actually looked at, in total, they looked at 500,000 galaxies.
It was 500,000 galaxies in 1.6 square degrees.
Absolutely. That's an interesting thing in itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the sky's just full of these dash things. How does that help them map the dark matter? Because, of course, the reason you see the galaxies with the Hubble Space Telescope, you're not looking at dark matter itself. You're looking at visible matter. You're looking at the stars, light from the stars, basically, in those galaxies. People may have seen these very nice images of galaxy clusters where you get the images of background galaxies, distant galaxies, are distorted by the light, the light that's coming from them being bent around dark matter that's between us and the distant galaxy. So light is bent around them, as Einstein predicted in general relativity, and that causes the image to appear very distorted. So you get these sort of big arcs and things. I don't know whether you've seen those cluster images.
Yes.
Sure you have.
Yes.
We're not talking about that. We're not talking about strong lensing. We're talking about so-called weak lensing. You get strong lensing when the line of sight, as you look towards one of these distant galaxies, passes close to a very large concentration of dark matter. But that would be relatively unusual. So the more typical case is where your line of sight goes through less dark matter. So you get a weaker effect.
Right.
You don't get these big distortions. So partly that explains one of Jeremy's problems, is where at one point he says, you know, how do we know where these galaxies actually are, since all we see is the distorted images, and he's sort of imagining that their positions are all changed. And that's not actually true in the weak lensing case. You know, it's not a strong lensing thing where you get these big arcs and everything's
right.
all over the place, like looking through your bathroom window at the back garden sort of thing, where you get all these multiple images and so on.
So the background galaxy is pretty much in the same place as it was if there was no lensing effect. It's just ever so slightly distorted.
It's changed in its appearance. And in fact, if you know, a typical galaxy, if you were to take these 500,000 galaxies, and what you can do in a computerized sort of objective way is to measure the apparent shapes of the galaxies. So basically you would fit, for example, ellipses.
Right.
So these things would look elliptical, and you would be able to fit ellipses to the shapes of these galaxies. And what would happen is what the weak lensing does is it changes the properties of that ellipse in some way. So, for example, it might make it look slightly more elliptical or slightly change the position angle of it in some way, so it's sort of rotated slightly or something.
Right.
Now, of course, it's true. One aspect of what he says is absolutely true, that we don't know what the original ellipticity and orientation of these galaxies is, since we only see the effects after the dark matter has had its, you know, played its cards and distorted the image. So what would be the case if we don't know, if we don't know what the orientations is, what we take to be the case is that they're uncorrelated. In other words, they're randomly oriented in space. That would be what we would assume about their orientations. What you do when you go and make these measurements, these very detailed measurements, taking into account lots of complicated stuff actually about the noise in the images and about the way in which the telescope actually breathes. It actually changes shape slightly by a few microns as it sort of goes into and out of the Earth's shadow, for example. So you have to correct for all these things. It's quite a complicated thing to do. What you do is you look at the actual observed ellipticities and orientations, and you find, in fact, that they're correlated. So adjacent galaxies, which light from which has passed through a similar region of dark matter, basically, would have their images distorted in the same way.
Right.
And it's sort of about the 2-3% level. It's about the same level as the change in distortion you'd expect, as the change in orientation you'd expect to see from them being oriented randomly. So you can't just do it with one galaxy.
No, you need a group of them.
You need a massive group, and that's why they've looked at 500,000 galaxies. It's a statistical argument, basically, where you look at it and you say, is there any correlation between the sort of apparent ellipticities and orientations of these galaxies, of adjacent galaxies in groups? And then from that, from seeing that signal, which otherwise wouldn't be there, from seeing that correlation, you can then reconstruct what dark matter must be there to have caused that amount of correlation. Right. Does that make any sense?
Well, yes.
So I think that's the answer to the question.
Thank you very much.